Matthew chapter number 7. And I'll say up front, I've struggled tremendously with this message today. And I've studied every piece of material I could find on it and prayed and asked the Lord to help me. And this is a difficult passage to preach on. Just because of our Christian nature, it's difficult to deal with. But I think the Lord has helped us with it, and I hope He helps us. I think He'll teach us the things we need to learn and understand about this. We're just going to read one verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 6. The Word of God says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, keep in mind, last week we considered the respect of persons and judging people. And again, the illustration we used, it's difficult to get close enough to someone to help them with a beam sticking out of our eye. And the first thing we need to take care of is ourselves. Lord, deal with me. Search my heart. Show me the things I need to see and clean me up so that I might be able to help someone else. But we looked at that last week, but we're going to consider a different subject today. This counsel from the Lord in this passage reminds us not to respect people, but to give preference to good and evil, and how we are to give preference to good and not evil. This verse that we've read and we'll look at this morning is certainly not a politically correct verse in this society. By the way, our concern is not political correctness. Our concern should be biblical correctness. And this verse, which says to withhold things of value from evil people, is counsel the world says discriminates against some people. Let's be honest about it. We fight against discrimination, and we should. There are certain things we should never discriminate against people. The way they look, where they're from, their nationality. We should not discriminate on things like that. That's wrong to do. There have been many a fight, many a people who've suffered tremendous loss and maybe even their life over fighting those battles. There is, however, room for discrimination when it comes to giving out good things to evil people and wicked people. And even in the church, this text is a very difficult text to receive. You say, "I don't believe that." Well, let's just give it a couple examples. Let's say someone who wants to join a church doesn't represent Christianity well, they're a reprobate. And the church was to say to that individual, "You can't join our church." I want to tell you, that'd fly all over some folks. When it comes to the matter of church discipline, I was talking to someone this week about church discipline. By the way, that is in the Bible. It's not a pleasant thing to do. It's not a pleasant thing to deal with, but it's still a biblical process to follow. But when it comes to the matter of church discipline, that's a difficult thing, and people shy away from that at times. So you understand what I'm saying. To understand this passage, though, about preference given by the Lord, I think we need to consider just three things, and I hope this will help us this morning. I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to give you an explanation. We'll give you some examples. I'm going to give you an exhortation about this matter. The Lord speaks here about giving that which is holy to the dogs, or not giving that which is holy to the dogs, and not casting your pearls before the swine. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us today, teach us the things we need to learn, and ask the Lord to honor Him during this time, and ask the Lord to make it clear to us His purpose for our life, and then may we determine to be obedient to the things the Lord gives us in and through this time together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I'm grateful for how you speak to our hearts through your word. And I'm asking you to do just that this morning. I pray that you would speak in clear fashion, but Lord, more than speak to our hearts, Lord, help us to understand and grasp the truth of your word. And may we not just grasp the truth of your word, but Lord, may we do the truth that you teach us today. May we not be hearers only. Help us to do the things you would have us to do. Lord, I love you today, and I have a desire to honor you, so please help me to do such. I pray you would remove from my mind anything that need not be said, but Lord, empower me to say the things that needs to be said at this time. And Lord, use us as a tool in your hand to do the work that needs to be done. And we'll thank you for it, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I said a moment ago, I'll give you three things to that I think will help us better understand this passage. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. First of all, I want to give you an explanation. This text is about preference, and it has three important parts that I think is important for us to understand. First of all, it speaks about the valuable things. Again, notice if you would in verse number 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine. Those things of value, those holy things, those things that we treasure the most. They refer to spiritual and moral character, which is the most valuable things in life. I've made a list of some things that are of great value and should be great value to each of us in this room this morning. First of all, the Word of God. We ought not to allow the Word of God to be abused and to be trampled under the foot of men. We ought to honor God's Word. It ought to be important to us. It ought to be precious to us. It ought to be something that we cherish in our life, the Word of God. A second thing that I think it's important is the matter of purity. We ought not be giving purity away to wicked and vile individuals. Years ago, as I was serving as a youth director, I'd preach a lot on purity. I think that's something that's important. Let me say something to the young people in this room. Don't give yourself away to just the dogs and the swine. I started to entitle the message, The Hogs and the Dogs. Don't give yourself away. Don't give your purity away to the dogs and the hogs. It's valuable. You need to spare yourself and save yourself and remain pure until you're united with your spouse at an altar somewhere. You need to be a pure individual. How about honesty? That's something of great value and something we see little of today. Well, it's just a little lie. No, there's no little lies and big lies. There's only lies. There's no gray area and the white area and black area. And no, it's either right or wrong. It's either honest or dishonest. It's either a truth or a lie. And yet we confuse and muddle the areas and we say, I just didn't want to, and we'll say this, we just didn't want to hurt them. Well, if you tell the truth the right way, you won't hurt them. You'll help them. How about this? Our time. Our time's very valuable, isn't it? If you don't believe that, take your car to the garage. $75 an hour. They don't bat an eye when they tell you that. I was thinking about that the other day, and it really troubled me. $75 an hour. And then I went and got my hair cut. $14 for 10 minutes. That's more than a mechanic makes. That's good money. $14 for 10 minutes. In case you hadn't figured that out, you multiply that times 6, and that's their hourly rate. That's pretty good change. Time's valuable. If you were to go to the doctor tomorrow and the doctor would say to you, you know, you don't have much time left. You'd value that time you had left. Time is valuable, and yet we waste so much of it with frivolous, vile, wicked things. Let's be honest about it. It's either amen or oh me. We waste a lot of time. How about this, our talent? You know, it troubles me. Again, I said I used to be a youth worker. I worked with teenagers for years. I guess that's why I still act like a big kid. I still love young folks. But something troubled me. You know, there's a lot of talented young people. And I appreciate the talent that they have. But it troubled me that they would use their talent at school and wouldn't use their talent at church. Hello? If you know how to play a horn, then play a horn at church. Now, it's got to be the right music. Got to set some guidelines here. We're not going to have no March theme songs or no school pep rally. But if you've got a talent, you got to use it for the Lord. And yet there's talent being wasted today on the world and not being used for the Lord. How about this? Our treasure. Now it's going to get real quiet right here. How much of our treasure is wasted on worldly things instead of the work of the Lord? Now what did the Bible say? Well, the Bible makes it very clear here, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The things of value, the Word of God, purity, honesty, time, talent, treasure. How about this? Our family. Our families are valuable. Amen. By the way, Mom and Dad, the television's not the babysitter. And don't be so foolish to put a computer in their room and turn them loose unsupervised. If you want to give them a computer, it should be in the living room where that you can see what they're looking at. You say, well, my child wouldn't. Well, I'm going to tell you, the jail's full of people that wouldn't. Yeah, it is. If you don't believe me, I can take you down there and introduce you to a few of them who said I would never do that. I'd never do that. I want to tell you, the jail's full of people that would never do that. How about this, our faith? You know, it troubles me today, and please, I'm not on some rampage, please understand that, but it troubles me today the compromise I see coming from preachers. Just to appease people. Now, right is right regardless. Wrong has never become spiritual. Nor has it ever been right. And yet there are people today that are sacrificing and compromising and throwing the things of the Word of God and our faith to the hogs and to the dogs, and they give it no second thought at all. I want to tell you, God or the Lord Jesus Christ warns us against that. Well, it's just a little compromise. Well, a little compromise ends up to be a big compromise. It's like a snowball. It starts small and ends big. And most of the time you can't stop it once it starts going. I feel sorry for some preachers that have to go in behind some of that mess. But you'll never get it straight unless you split the thing, or unless it splits. How about the future? The future is valuable. I don't know what the Lord holds for tomorrow. He knows, but I don't. But I hope I make it there. Amen. I was at the nursing home the other day. Miss Ina was talking to a lady there. She was 80 plus years old. I said, boy, I hope I make it to that point. the future. And yet we just throw the future away as if it matters not. We find here the explanation, first of all, the valuable. And then secondly, we see here the vile. The Bible uses terms like the dogs and swine. This represents evil characters or evil in character. Now, let me explain just a couple things. Dogs back in those days are not like dogs we have today. It wasn't like Miss Barbara's lap dog that comes up and she rubs the thing and it's very content sitting in her lap, and when Tommy shows up, he's ready to bite. He does bite Tommy, but Tommy probably deserves it. Tommy tortures that dog. Those dogs wasn't like those dogs. The dogs in those days were savages and they were snarling dogs. Dogs that would bite the hand that was feeding them. These dogs were savage and scavengers. They were fierce and dangerous. They were half wild animals. And of course, we know the concept of a hog to a Jew or a Jewish individual. They despised hogs. They were considered unclean. They were not allowed to be used in sacrifice. They were not to be consumed as food. A hog was considered a detestable beast because of its uncleanness. And dogs and hogs here in our text represent the grossly depraved that have no appreciation for noble character and right things. You say, what do they show? They show the effect of sin. That's what they show. They show the effect of sin. And so we've seen the valuable things here, the good things and the pearls and that which is holy. We've seen the vile things, the dogs and the swine. Let me show you a third thing we see here, and that's violence. Notice what the Bible said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Notice here, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I find a very strong counsel here. And the truth is, if we ignore this counsel, most certainly the results is we're going to be a victim in their violence. You mark it down. Young person, you give your purity away, you're going to find yourself a victim in the violence. Individuals in this room, you give your honesty away, you're going to find you're a victim in the violence. You throw your faith aside and let it be trampled under, you're going to find you're going to be a victim in the violence. We read there in Matthew 7, verse number 6, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, this violence involves two things. First of all, it involves the trampling of the gift. They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate. The world doesn't appreciate purity. The world doesn't appreciate honesty. The world doesn't appreciate, for the most part, family and faith and the future. The world doesn't appreciate our time and our talent and our treasure. They just want to use that. They want to abuse that. They want to trample that under their feet. The world, for the most part, doesn't appreciate the Word of God. The world, for the most part, don't appreciate the pearls, those things of great value. What do? They trample them under their feet. There's a great effort today to minimize or to deteriorate the importance of the home. There's television shows now being produced in Hollywood, and the philosophy is running rampant today to minimize the importance of the home. By the way, I still believe a family or a home or a couple consists of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. God created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. You say, well, that troubles me. Well, you know, it ought to trouble you. It ought to trouble you. I see wild beasts that are young men taking advantage of young ladies. Let me say something to you dads. You keep a loaded pistol. And when so-and-so comes to pick up your young lady, make sure he knows it's loaded and you got a quick refill. Yeah. And let me say something to you young men here. Don't you take advantage of a young lady. Don't you take away something from her that she needs to give to her husband. You say, that's pretty direct. It's time we get direct. We've soft-stepped it too much. Don't you throw honesty out the window to be trampled under. Now, we need to give the truth in love, but we still need to give the truth. Don't you throw your family under the bus and allow the world just to trample all over your family. Oh, I wish I could say a whole lot here. I don't have the time to say what's going through my mind right now. But it troubles me to see how some parents treat their children. Or, let me rephrase that. How they mistreat their children. They let them run wild. Years ago when I was serving as a youth director, I literally had a kid pull a knife on me. He got upset. We bust a lot of children in. It wasn't uncommon to have 400 or 500 children ride buses to church. And this one particular Wednesday is a Wednesday night. We run buses all services. But I saw this young man, his name was Dwayne. I saw him get off the bus. And right beside our church, or I say right beside it, probably 200 yards through a field, there was a place of entertainment. There was a putt-putt course and a driving range and batting cages, that type of thing. Well, I saw him get off the bus and kind of sneak behind the dumpster and make his way through the field. So after the service, I didn't chase him down. After the service, I met him at the bus. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm getting on the bus to go home. I said, you're not getting on that bus. He said, well, that's my bus. I ride it home. I said, well, you're not riding that bus home. He said, well, I came to church on that bus. I said, yeah, that bus is taking people home that came to church. You didn't come to church. You're not riding that bus home. It doesn't say on the front of that bus, taxi cab. It says church bus. You're not riding that church bus home. You're calling your mom and telling her you didn't go to church and she's coming to pick you up. Well, he got all worked up, man. He pulled a knife. I said, you better kill me on the first stab because you're going to eat that blade. Well, he got mad and took off running through town and the chase was on. I get one of my workers and we jump into one of the vans we had. I said, I need some help. Dwayne's running off. Don't know where he's at. We're chasing this kid through Proctorville, Ohio, and now down to Chesapeake, Ohio. Well, the chief of police in Chesapeake was in our church. He was a member of our church, and I was driving through town. Now it's like 11:30 at night. He sees me driving the church van. I've circled the block 6 or 7 times. He finally flashes his lights at me. I pull in. He said, what's going on? I said, well, we got a kid that's run away from church. We're trying to find him. Well, he gets involved in it. And we finally find the kid. It's now 12:45, almost 1 o'clock. He gets the kid, puts him in the car. We go to his house. There is a toddler in diapers on the porch. It's now 1:30 in the morning. The house sits right here and the highway sits right there. This toddler in diapers is running back and forth on the porch with no adult supervision.
We knock on the door, there's no parent, there's no adult there at all, and we can't leave those children there. And so we're there about 15, 20 minutes. He's called social services, and they're on their way. And all of a sudden, guess who shows up? Drunk. Mom. Staggering as she gets out of the car. Well, he arrests her. And they take the children. And boy, I tell you, that makes me mad. It would not do for me to be the judge setting and issuing sentence to a parent like that. Now, I know there's guidelines that judges have to follow and laws they have to follow. But I want to tell you, if there was no guidelines, it wouldn't be a pleasant day if I was the judge. And we get all worked up over that type of thing. But let me tell you, spiritual child abuse is just as bad. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about letting the kids stay at home while you're at church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about saying, you know, the kid, one of the kids says, yeah, I just don't feel like going to church. Well, what's wrong with you? Well, I just don't feel like going. Well, you're going. Yeah, you're going. Well, I just can't get them. I'll tell you the solution to that. Don't mess up your bed and throw a bunch of ice in the bed. You go get you a big box of marbles and put them in the freezer, and when they don't want to get out of bed, you dump those marbles in the bed. I guarantee you they'll be getting up pretty quick. And you won't have a mess to clean up other than marbles, and you can make them clean them up. I just don't feel... I want to tell you, we get all worked up over physical child abuse, and we should, but I want to tell you, we ought to be as worked up over spiritual child abuse. Parents sending their kids to church and they sitting at home. I'm talking about throwing the precious pearls out and letting the hogs and dogs trample on them. This violence involves two things, the trampling of the gift. They don't appreciate it. They despise the things of God. They use God's name in vain. They give these, to give these individual holy things is to dishonor holy things. But not only do they trample the gift, they also rend the giver. That's what the Bible says. Lest they turn again and rend you. When there is no respect for the gift, there'll be no respect for the giver. You remember that. When there is no respect for the gift, there'll be no respect for the giver. Well, let's take this to spiritual things. Do we respect the spiritual things that we have and been given? Do we? If not, there's a good chance we don't respect the giver of the gifts that we've been given. Let me say something again to the young people here. And by the way, I appreciate you being in this service. I really do. You know, I know a lot of churches, they have a lot of different types of programs. I believe young people need to learn how to sit in church. And by the way, you're doing a fantastic job. Let me say that. But let me say something to the young people here. Don't take lightly the things that God has given you. And don't throw them to the hogs and the dogs. You cherish your purity. You cherish honesty. You cherish the Word of God. You cherish your time. You cherish your treasure. You cherish your talent. You cherish your family. You cherish your faith. You cherish the future. Why? Why shouldn't I just give that stuff? Because they don't appreciate it. They're going to end up coming and rending you. Young ladies, be careful with that fellow that says, I love you. Be careful. Puppy love leads to a dog's life. Isn't it amazing how cute them little kittens are? I know this is shocking some of you that I even said that. Isn't it amazing how cute some little kitten is? And then they grow up. You say, don't you like cats? About like I do a headache. I mean, they just remind me of the devil. Pointed ears and claws and sharp teeth and hissing. Now, if you have a cat, I love your cat. Just put it up when I come to see you. My dad has a bunch of them. He has cats and dogs and everything else. But isn't it amazing how cute a little kitten is, and then it grows up? Isn't it cute how some of these little pups are cute? Then they grow up and they're ugly as mud, you know? I was at the pet store the other day looking around. Had the cutest little old bulldog in there. I got to thinking that thing's going to grow up and it's going to be as ugly as can be. I like hounds. That's kind of my favorite. I like hound dogs, you know, beagles and fox hounds and coon hounds. I like those. And, you know, they ain't nothing any cuter than a little beagle pup. But I'm telling you, some of them beagles can get ugly. I said that to say this. Don't give your treasure to the hogs and the dogs. You young men respect young ladies. You young ladies, you respect what God has given you. And everybody in this room, you respect the Word of God, honesty, time, talent, treasure, family, your faith, your future. Don't give that away to the dogs and the hogs. They don't appreciate it. They're going to trample on it, and they'll come back and bite you. They'll rend the giver. Well, I've spent a lot of time on the explanation. Let me move through these next two things, some examples. Certainly the Lord was a great example of this. He understood some things. And the Lord practiced this through His ministry with His men and even in His murder. He didn't cast the pearl before the swine. I think about other men in the Bible, Paul and David. I think about the Scripture. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 9, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." In Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 8, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee." In other words, don't throw the precious things before the dogs and the hogs. They're going to walk all over them, and they're going to come back and rend you. Now, let me give you a third thing, and I'm finished. We've seen the explanation of the valuable things, the vile things, the violent things. We've seen some examples from the Bible. But let me give you an exhortation. I close with this. Again, the Bible says here in our text, verse number 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, I believe there's some clear exhortation here in this passage. First of all, there's an exhortation regarding companionship. We're not to give the pearl of our character. We're not to give the pearl of our virtue. We're not to give the pearl of our purity. We're not to give the pearl of our family to the companion or the companions that are vile, swine, and dog-like in character. Be careful of your friends. My grandfather used to say this: "You lay down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas." Birds of a feather flock together. Be careful of your companionship. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13. You've got to mark this verse in your Bible if it's not already marked. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Well, let me ask you, who is it that you're a companion with? Young people, who is it that you call your friend? Are they helping you or hurting you spiritually? Hello? Don't bow your head, it's not time to pray. Who is it that you're friends? Are they helping you be more like the Lord, or are they hurting you in becoming more like the Lord? The Bible says a companion of fools will be or shall be destroyed. I know school has started or is about to start for most everyone in this room that's in school. Be careful. Not everyone that says they're a friend is a friend. Be careful. A companion of fools will be destroyed. I believe we see here an exhortation regarding our companions or companionship. By the way, when we give those precious things to those that are unworthy, you'll pay a great price. You'll never get your purity back. Never. That's surrendered once. Be honest. By the way, when you tell a lie, you have to remember what you told. If you tell the truth, it's not hard to remember. Amen? It's not hard to remember. You tell the truth, that's not hard to remember. The story's the same every time. You tell a lie, you got to figure out what you told so-and-so, and then you got to remember what you told somebody else. And if you're not careful, you're going to confuse the two. There's an exhortation regarding companionship. There's also an exhortation regarding the church. I was reading this week. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a preacher who's now in heaven years ago, but he made this statement. And he said that giving holy things to dogs and the pearls to pigs is the church's ruin. Well, this was years ago when he made this statement. He said, when we let the unconverted into the church membership and allow them to hold office in the church with privileges, we destroy the testimony and work of the church. When we invite apostate pastors and apostate ministers and apostate evangelists who are swine in doctrine and dogs in character, we ruin the work of evangelism. That's what he said. Now, if that was a problem in his day, how much more is it a problem in our day? The truth is, we only hurt the church when we allow the vile into the church. I understand there's a fine line. We're kind to everyone. We should be kind to everyone. We should accept people where they're at and try to lead them to where they need to be. And anybody is welcome at Temple Baptist Church, as long as they behave themselves. And allow somebody to come in here and just disturb the services. But everybody's welcome in this church. But we're not going to put just everyone in a position of leadership in this church. We're not going to do it. Why? Because there's some valuable things we don't want trampled. There's some things we're not going to give to the dogs and the hogs. One of those things is this book. I'm very careful who I let teach in this church. I want to know where they stand on this book. I was at a preacher's meeting the other day. I tell you, I come this close to saying something and doing something I would have probably regretted. fellow got up and tried to tell me this Bible's not inspired. Now, we're talking about an independent Baptist preacher's meeting. Now, I know that the King James is not, quote, inspired, it's preserved, but it came from an inspired book, so this is God's Word, and it is inspired. And God has preserved His Word through the centuries. Don't get up and try to tell me this is not God's Word. If you're pretending to be a preacher, then find something else to do. Don't throw this book to the hogs and the dogs. I'm very careful about that. I don't let preachers come in here that doesn't use the King James Bible. I ask them before they come. And if ever any one of them ever got up and used something else, he'd sit down immediately. That's why I stay up here when there's a guest here. Just for our folks, you know that. Anytime there's a guest here, I'm right here. I don't have far to come if things get out of order. That's why I stay here. Unless I trust that guy completely. Now, if it's somebody I know well and I trust him completely, I'll go down and sit with my wife. There's an exhortation to the church. The church is not to give holy honor to the unholy. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine. Now, let me draw this to a close. What is it that we need? We need wisdom. That's what we need. We need wisdom. We don't want to get an attitude where we don't try to help people. But also we need to be alert. We don't cast the precious things that's going to be trampled under and not appreciated. Unworthy, unholy people. We need wisdom. I've said a lot to the young people here today. Again, I appreciate your attention. You've paid good attention. God has given you some things, you young people. God has given you some things. Don't throw them away. Don't throw them away. We were visiting yesterday. And one of the young men that my wife and I visited, we both said when we pulled away, I believe God's hand's upon that young man. He's seated right there. He's always very polite. Yes, sir, no, sir. Don't throw your pearls to the swine. Don't give them to the dogs. You young ladies here, don't throw it away. Don't throw your purity away to the first dog that comes wagging his tail. Don't do it. You say, that's awful direct. I think we need to be direct about some of this. God intends you to remain pure. Do you say, I do? Now, let me just say, you say, well, I've messed up in my life. Well, God gives you a second chance. But don't approach it that way. Well, I was messed up and God gave me another chance. I'm talking about folks that's already made mistakes. He's still faithful and just to forgive. But it'd be better not to make that mistake. Don't give the precious things, the pearls, to the dogs and to the hogs. Why? Because they're going to trample all over them. And then they're going to come back and they're going to rend you again.